Good morning, everyone. He's lost his Senate parking privileges, but he's got a new address on Pennsylvania Avenue. Barack Obama is now President-elect Barack Obama. The morning after the results, what just happened? How do you feel?
John, Dartmouth, America was reborn again last night, quite simply. We're once again going to be the shining city on the hill and be part of the rest of the world. Thank you.
Boy, we have some optimistic listeners
indeed.
This morning.
Emotional, too. And give us your story and your reaction at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. Also, what should be at the top of Obama's agenda when he takes office? Give us his to-do list, either between now and January or when he actually hits office. And now, with an update on the congressional races, we have Femi Okeh here.
Thank you, John. The time is just coming out to 27 minutes to the top of the hour. In an historic election, Barack Obama has been elected the first African-American president of the United States. He was declared the winner last night with 349 electoral votes to John McCain's 162, but we're still waiting for results from Missouri and North Carolina. Democrats also increased the majority in both congressional houses. They added 5 seats in the Senate, and there are still 4 races left to call. If they win all of them, they will have a filibuster-proof majority. In the House, Democrats have upped their numbers by at least 18 seats. In Connecticut, 22-year-old Republican incumbent Chris Sayers was ousted by Democrat Jim Himes. He says it's a new era in American history.
Leadership is moving to a new generation. At this level and in the White House.
And that victory makes the entire New England House delegation Democratic. Chris Shays conceded defeat in the wake of the opposing party's sweeping victories.
I was really hoping that a very positive campaign with a good record could overcome the tsunami we all knew was there.
And it's the first time in 75 years that the party's won major gains in back-to-back elections. John, Adora.
Sure. Just to remind people, the Senate seats that the Democrats have picked up, Mark Udall in Colorado, Kay Hagan in North Carolina, Gene Shaheen in New Hampshire, Tom Udall in New Mexico, and Mark Warner there in Virginia. The Georgia race is too close to call down there in Atlanta, Adora Udoji. What is going on in the state of Georgia?
No, at least according to the Associated Press, it seems we have a little intrigue here in Georgia. NPR and CNN have called the very contentious Senate race between Jim Martin, the Democrat, and the incumbent Republican Saxby Chambliss. But the Associated Press is not calling Georgia because they are concerned about some outstanding absentee ballots as well as some early votes in the metro Atlanta area. So we're going to keep our eye on that for developments to see what's happening. And I am in Atlanta, Georgia. We are on the campus of Clark Atlanta University. And joining me here in the studio is David Walrice, our takeaway contributor and a psychology professor here at Morehouse.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to see you in person.
Good to see you too. Thank you.
As we've been asking people all morning, what exactly happened last night?
Yeah, you know, it's such a heady time, an incredible question. I mean, what happened last night is we get to see a new America. You get to see a new face, you know, a new leadership. And coming from a social sciences perspective, the thing that's so interesting is that you really get to see a different look at what America looks like. The thing that I was most moved by in the speech that Obama gave was actually seeing his family come out at the very end, seeing his family with Joe Biden's family. And that is the look of America. You're not just seeing all these white male faces anymore. You know, it's really more contextualized. And I think that's amazing.
Was it particularly moving for you? You're from down south.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah, I actually grew up in Texas and, of course, went to school here in Atlanta as well.
And you had a great-great-grandmother who was enslaved.
I did.
And you know her story.
I did, absolutely.
So were you thinking about any of that as you're watching the results come in? What are you thinking about?
You know, I mean, your mind darts in so many different directions. I thought about my family, who is largely from Birmingham, Alabama, and, you know, thought about the things that my grandmother went through, of course, thinking about being in the cradle of the civil rights movement, you know, walking this morning into the studio, walking past Martin Luther King's statue on Morehouse's campus. You think of all these sacrifices and all these activities that folks did so that Barack Obama, so that the country could have this look that we have on November 5th, 2008. So, you know, I really did kind of not take things so personally last night, but, you know, you think about the future. You know, I have a little baby son. I think about that. This is the first president that he's going to see and recognize is going to be a black man, somebody who looks like him. So that's, you know, that's just mind-boggling.
Hey, David, it's John up here in New York. I just want to break in and announce that incumbent Senator Norm Coleman has been reelected in Minnesota, and that's been reported by the AP. That was down to a few hundred votes, but apparently it's widened, and they're calling it for Norm Coleman. Okay, guys?
Well, there's one in the Republican column. But, Professor, were you also thinking about your students and how many of them are going to say, I told you so?
Yeah. You know, I am. You know, I think we're actually running a study now looking at the expression of identity through this electoral process, and we'll do it, you know, until Obama is installed. And to really think of them being ahead of the game, to think of the youth vote that really got out there and pushed it and really believe that this...
Were they the early believers, though? When you look back at the last 2 years when Barack Obama announced he was going to run for president, were some of your students the ones who came to you and said, I believe in him?
They were. They really were. And, you know, I think that so many times a lot of us are older, obviously. You know, you kind of become jaded and you're like, no, I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, I've been a black man in America for 35 years, and God knows I haven't handled the hell that my forefathers and foremothers have handled. But certainly, you know, I couldn't see this, you know. So to think about that, you know, in 2008, when I'm not decrepit, I'm able to really talk about this with all my senses about me. It's just
I'm decrepit.
Amazing.
I've been up all night.
Yeah, you're John,
do your students? Yeah, I'm a different story. Do your students though get it before you do? In other words, you say you didn't see this coming. Do you think the young students at Morehouse that you interact with maybe saw this or were in a position to see it maybe better than some of us who are older?
I think so. I mean, they have an innocence, you know, and I think that a lot of this campaign was about a purity and an innocence and a belief in, you know, the great experiment, you know, and so you're not compromised with all these kind of life experiences. Now, of course, you have, you know, the seasoning of them as well, so we're not going to make the same mistakes and, you know, kind of how to hone your administration, we hope and trust. But, you know, the folks who really got in early, at least here in my experience, were the students. And, you know, I'm amazed and so pleased by that.
Hopes and dreams like what we've seen that drove so many people to Barack Obama, are they impossible to fulfill, all of those people, your students who are feeling hopeful and you're saying are innocent and lack, you know, this
sure.
sense of jadedness?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, there's this discussion of having so much of the shoulders on this one man, and certainly all of the dreams and hopes aren't going to be fulfilled. But I think that, you know, him being in the place to work it through is a very beginning. So it's amazing.
David Walrice, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you.
David Walrice, our takeaway contributor here at Morehouse College, where he teaches psychology.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.